turn on the recording. Thumbs up. I'm good to go. All right. So this week, Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah. You know, it's a bit of an oxymoron. I mentioned it a little bit in my the drasha earlier today. So if you haven't heard that, maybe you want to skip back to it. If you're listening on the audio only, unfortunately, you won't get it. But you can find it on YouTube. It's really a bit of an oxymoron. Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah, because the portion starts with her death. It doesn't do flashbacks or something like that. There's an explanation of why they call it the life of Sarah. It's just strange that all of a sudden, the very first thing that happens is Sarah dies. But we call it the life of Sarah. Why would the rabbis do that? So let's take a quick look just to set it up. Genesis 23, 1 and 2. Now Sarah's life was 127 years, the years of Sarah's life. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. So first, just a little side note, 127 years. You know, in the Hebrew it's written out 127. And, you know, the rabbis say, well, that's pretty significant, you know, the 100, the 120, the full life, and then another sabbatical number of years. She truly was blessed in her long life. But then let's go back to the question, why would the rabbis name it the life of Sarah when it's about her death? And then nothing about her after that. Within the portion. I feel like I'm making a lot of noise. I'm going to try to knock my microphone down just a little. Okay, I'm going to try not to move too much. So why the life of Sarah when it's not really about her life, or at least not her physical life? Well, we're going to get a hint on that if we go into Talmud. Of course, Talmud is that compilation of commentaries from rabbis of old, some of them a little more current than others. And when I say a little more current, still hundreds of years old. And when you get this compilation of commentary, and you have a bunch of different rabbis giving it about the same piece of scripture, what do we know? You put together three rabbis, you're going to get four or five different opinions. And it's just the way it is. And it's the way with most people. So, you know, it's not no kick. It just is. But there is one thing in Talmud that gives us a hint on why the life of Sarah. And it says this: the righteousness in their death are called living. The righteous in their death are called living. So based on this little piece of Talmud, we can say that Sarah's life was not really just while she was living. Sarah's life went on, and we call that a legacy. Sarah had a legacy that she left behind. Each of us at times thinks what we want to leave behind when we die. We all die. And we're all going to leave something behind. For most, they want to leave behind both an inheritance and a legacy. When we think of an inheritance, we think mostly in terms of money and things that are left behind in a will, or in some of these physical things that are left behind to our loved ones. When we think of a legacy, though, it's not limited just to money and things. Your legacy also includes a godly character. Qualities with like integrity, trustworthiness. Combining a financial inheritance and a wisdom and godliness ensures that the next generation will also manage God's blessings, God's ways, God's glory, long after we've graduated to heaven. That's where our legacy comes in. Now, a search in Bible Gateway zero results for legacy. Legacy is never mentioned in Scripture. But we do get hints of it. Proverbs 13:22 says, A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Legacy focuses on what will endure. It's about passing on things with lasting value to those who live on after us. Legacy involves intentional living, aiming to build up that next generation for their success, not just for our own. It's the passing on of things that we see in Psalm 145. Verse 4 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." The Lord's works are passed from one generation to another. That's a legacy. That could be your legacy. How are you passing on the Lord's words to the next generation? Now, that's a very Jewish concept. Lador vador. In Hebrew, lador vador. Passing on from one generation to another. It literally means generation to generation. And it's passing on more than just things. It's passing on that wisdom or the collective knowledge of the family, the strengths and moral compass and who we are. But even more than who we are, it's who we want to be. Right? You hear these stories of, my father always said, Mom always told us. That's them passing on a legacy. That's the way it's passed on in a family. Right? It starts with grandma who told mom, who told the children, get to tell their children, and that legacy goes on and on and on. You hope it's a good legacy. You hope it's a strong and righteous legacy. Here within Karen Orr and in our synagogue, we're a family. So we want to pass on a legacy as well. We do that by speaking to each other. You know, to me, that's really what Torah for today really is about. It's not a teaching by the rabbi. It's a passing on of the wisdom, the collective wisdom from generation to generation. Now you might say, well, you know, the age difference isn't very much. That's all right. It's still passing on information from one to another, and it kind of just filters down, bops down. That's what Torah for today is all about. That's why you guys need to all be there. You know, we don't have a bad turnout for it, but it's that passing on of information, that passing on of a legacy, not just our own legacy, his legacy as well. And we see this as an example throughout Scripture. Moses teaching not just the nation of Israel, but also Joshua, as he was to become the next leader of the people. Rav Shaul, or the Apostle Paul, teaching not just the Jewish people and the Gentiles of the time, but also Titus and Timothy in letters to the individuals, directed directly to them. And both Moses and Shaul were able to pass on this wisdom and knowledge of Scripture because they received it from Adonai. They received it from Yeshua. They were passing on their legacy because they received it from above. They received his legacy to us, and we pass it on. Moses received his legacy from Adonai, and it got passed on. Rav Shaul received it from Adonai, and he made sure that he passed it on. And we see this instruction. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Shaul speaks of the legacy that Timothy received as well. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." We see that instruction from family to family to family member. And then we see it also that we're supposed to do it within the congregations. Because here's what Shaul, Paul, wrote in Philippians to the people of Philippi. I'm looking at the word. I'm going, Philippi? I don't think so. Philippi. Thank you. Boy, oh boy. So Philippians 4:9. "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So we should want to remember and teach history. But even more, we want to pass on a heritage and a legacy. The difference between history and the heritage and legacy, there is a difference. History is what happened. A heritage is what survives history. Anti-Semitism and the Holocaust are the history of the Jewish people over many, many generations and years. But how they got through it, even how they're still getting through it through anti-Semitism today, that's a heritage. That's a legacy. Over the centuries, Jewish people lived in countries just trying to fit in and assimilate most of the time, trying not to be thrown out of the country, which happened over and over again to them. Now, they're no longer saying, let's just hide in the country, you know, let's just be accepted, let's try to put in more than we take out so that they don't throw us out again. Now we contribute. And we're strong in our knowledge of who we are and who our God is by not accepting anti-Semitism. That's a legacy and a heritage. History is what happened, but heritage is how we got to it. Good or bad, it makes us stronger, but it can make us weaker as well if it's bad history, if it's a bad legacy or a bad heritage. It's the lessons learned and hopefully strengthens us, and that we can pass on those strengths, that becomes the legacy. When people think of passing on a legacy, they may believe in a myth that says that defines legacy. Because most of the time when people talk about a legacy, it's for the rich. You know, they're passing on the family name and the family money. That's just, you know, money is the easiest part of an inheritance to pass on. But it's certainly not the most important. In fact, I would say it's probably the least valuable of what you can leave your children. A legacy, we should strive to pass on the richness of values and virtues. That's what makes a legacy powerful. That's what will make your children better than we are. We want to pass on those strengths. And what strengths are we trying to pass on as believers? We're passing on the strengths of Scripture and the truths of His Word. We want to pass on the knowledge of the Ruach HaKodesh and Yeshua, and to pass on that knowledge of dependence upon Him and on Him alone. That our faith is strong. That's what we want to pass on. Our faith becomes our legacies to the next generation. You know, regardless of what you're passing it along, if you call it family lines at home, That's what we want to pass on. If you want to call it congregational family lines, we still want to pass it on here. Because we know not every single person who comes in the door is 100% on fire yet. It's just, you know, some of them are new to faith. Some of them are coming out of, you know, one kind of a church and coming into a Jewish, more Jewish-based congregation as we are. It's just going to be different for them. And maybe they just need that building up, that support system. That's our legacy. That's how we can help them here at Karen Orr. We teach each other. How do we teach each other? By uplifting them, by speaking to them, by teaching them, by coming together for teachings like Torah for Today or any of our other teachings, by even the times we come together in prayer. You know, there are some who will start in our encounter group a little shy, unsure of how to pray, but they hear other people pray, more mature people pray. And what happens? They learn how to pray. They become stronger because of you, because you've shown them how to do it. That's what we get from it. That's what everybody should look to do. You're either someone who's there to learn or you're there to teach. Those are the two roles that we have when a congregation comes together. You're either there to learn or you're there to teach. And I'm going to tell you the truth, you're there to do both. Because that's what I'm there to do. I'm there to teach and I'm there to learn. No one does just one. Regardless of how much they think they know walking in, there's something to be learned. Regardless of how little you think you know, there's something to be taught. There's no one who can't learn, and there's no one who can't teach. Sarah established the family not just by birth, but also the traditions of how Jewish women should act, and carrying that forward, how all women should act. And it was carried on by Rebecca after her. You know, in fact, it's a tradition for parents to bless the children on Shabbat, very often right after lighting the Shabbat candles in the evening. The parents would put their hands on their children, normally on their heads, I guess because they're low. You know, that would be about comfortable for me. So I guess I need like about a 5 or a 6-year-old just to be right there. And what do they say? For girls, they would say, may you be like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And for the boys, it's, may you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. And the blessing does not call them to be just like them, recreating their lives, the lives of the matriarchs and patriarchs, but to live with the faith and strengths that they've passed on, to live their legacy. That's what they're being blessed over with, the legacy. Every person has a legacy to pass on. Yeshua, being fully man and fully God, he was fully man as well. Therefore, he had a legacy to pass on. He passed it on to his children. You say, but Yeshua didn't have any children. His disciples were his children. We are his children. His legacy gets passed on to us. He showed himself to be an example for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us this. Peter writes about Yeshua starting in 2:21 of 1 Peter. For you were called to this because Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Now, Peter was writing to the congregations in Asia Minor, and he wanted to make sure that they understood that Yeshua was more than just a symbol. He was more than just the Messiah. He was an example of how to live. Just like Peter was telling the congregations then that their footsteps should follow Yeshua, so today, our walk, our footsteps should follow Yeshua as well. By being that person who walks in the footsteps of Yeshua, we gain the legacy of Yeshua. We become what we are. What comes from it is told in verse in Proverbs 22. 22:1 says, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." Yeshua's legacy is that he glorified Adonai, still glorifies Adonai, always will glorify Adonai. And our legacy is that we should glorify Yeshua as he glorifies Adonai. In the world today, some will use their inheritance to glorify themselves. We strive to do more than shine the light of ourselves. We want to shine his light out. We want to glorify him. We want to share his legacy. We want the legacy to be our own legacy, to be how we glorify Yeshua and Adonai. Yeshua left behind his legacy, his word, his love, his peace. His legacy will never pass away. It will never fail. Matthew 24 tells us about the legacy of Yeshua. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass." His legacy is worth more than gold and silver, we're told in Proverbs. It'll never pass away, we're told in Matthew. Greater than any legacy ever. It's the legacy we want to pass on as well. We don't live really to fulfill our own legacy. Our legacy is but to pass on his legacy. It's not even just to pass it on, it's actually to grow it. To not just to speak of it to those who already know it, but speak it of those who don't yet know it. We grow his legacy. We don't make it better. We don't make it greater. There is no way of making his legacy greater. We just make it known better, known into a greater portion of the people, known to be known all throughout the earth. You know, for many of us, our sphere of influence may not be the world. I got this. I know everybody's not watching me right now. That's okay. But we can influence those around us. You right there are an influence to other people within the congregation. You right there are an influencer to your family. You right there could be an influencer to those who are standing in line behind you while you shop. We all can influence somebody in some way around us. We all can grow the legacy of Messiah Yeshua. We expand his glory by learning more about him and then telling others about it. We don't even have to worry about what his legacy means. We just have to pass it on. He'll take care of the rest. All it requires us to do is not keep it hidden. Not to hide it under a bowl. You know, the shape of my head or my keeper, it's kind of like a bowl shape. Well, I don't want to put the lantern under that bowl. I want it to shine out. Each of us should have that desire to allow His legacy to shine out of our hearts, to shine out of our mouths, so that others will learn His legacy. His word never fails. Just put it out there and trust it. His word has power. Just put it out there and trust it. It doesn't say go forth and convince people. Just go forth and tell people. That's all we're called to do. And by doing that, you will be making His legacy greater and establishing a great legacy for yourself as well. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for the legacy You gave us as an example, and a legacy that You gave us to prosper us. Even better than silver and gold is what You've given us, the knowledge of salvation through Messiah Yeshua. Even better than silver and gold, the sacrifice that He performed so that His blood would be shed. Just like Leviticus tells us that it's through the blood that the atonement comes and the life is in. So it was through the blood of Yeshua that our atonement is and our life is. So Ruach HaKodesh, I ask for each and every person here, help us to speak Your words. Help us to share Your legacy. Help us to take on that legacy, so that when people think of us, they think of You. When they think of who we are, they'll think of who You are. When they think of our actions, they'll think of Your actions. And when they think of our legacy, they'll see Your legacy. Let us be Your children who inherit Your love and mercy and grace. We just thank You that You are that God, so loving and so merciful, that You've left it for us. We thank You in Yeshua's name. Amen.